Kof Hei Teves, Monday the 7th of January, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel, the archers.
Immediately after the 7 o'clock news bulletin in the evenings on BBC Radio 4 and a few other things, you can hear the archers. The BBC are very proud of the fact that this has been going on for 50 or 60 years. I'm not quite sure how long. I never listened to it anyway. I just happen to know it's there. We, Klal Yisrael, can be very proud. Our program called The Archers has been going on for 3,700 years. I do, of course, refer to Avraham Avinu. He started it. The pasuk says, "Ki yadati v'lemana sheyitzaveh esbon v'speis ha'achav." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after Avraham Avinu, has passed 7 severe nisyonos tests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he is my good friend, because he is going to educate his children and his household to go b'derech Hashem. So the friendship of Ribon Shalom to Avraham is dependent on his education program. You may say, well, wait a minute, after 7 difficult tests, why does it not mention he's my good friend because he's passed these tests? Because what's the use? If there's no continuation, however, as far as I'm concerned, Avraham can pass 1,000 tests. But if there's no education, there's no continuity, and that's the end of it. The friendship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham is based on the fact that he is an educationalist. What has education got to do with the archers? Well, it's often a pasuk. You say it every Shabbos afternoon. Kechitzim b'yad ha-gibor, kein b'nei ha-neurim. If you want to educate successfully, you have to do it like an archer. Says Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, what's the combination between the archers and education? It's very simply said. If you watch an archer practicing, he wants to hit the bullseye, but he never aims for it, because there's something called gravity. And this gravity is going to pull down the arrow, which he shoots straight. You'll never hit it. He's got to aim high. Now, if he aims high, right so far, he knows best how far above the target, the gravity will pull the arrow down and hit the bullseye. That is the first and foremost rule of education. You have to aim high. In my days, the story was going round as follows. Our Rosh Yeshiva, Olav HaShom, is called Rav Nachman David Landinsky. He was the son of Rav Moshe Landinsky, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin. And he was a gated Rosh Yeshiva. It was a small yeshiva. When I came, there were 100 bochim. When I left, there were 100 bochim. And the only yeshiva outside London was Manchester Yeshiva. And I still remember the great Gaon and Tzaddik Rav Moshe Yitzchok, the father of Rav Yudel. I think somehow Rav Yudel's become more famous than his illustrious father. But I knew Rav Moshe Yitzchok, Olav HaShalom, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. And people were asking, why is it that the gates of yeshiva produces greater Talmid HaChacham than Manchester? So Rosh Yeshiva said like this, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, what are his aims in life? To produce Erlech HaBalabatim. Comes along the Yetzara and reduces that by 50%. I aim to make every Bocha Grosser Talmud Chochem and Rosh Yeshiva Arov. The Yetzara takes away 50%, so I'm left with Erlech HaBalabatim. Now that's, the Rabbi said, this is apocryphal. However, one thing is clear, that when we go in for chinuch, we have to aim high. The Malbim has an interesting point here. In Sedra Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Shukharcho harbe ma'oi. You get a... So what's Avram say? Umatitin li, vani holech hariri. I haven't got any children. So Freik the Malbim HaKasha. L'chayra, that's a good thing. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham, he will have children. So the longer he is childless, the longer he's bound to live. There is nobody, absolutely nobody on earth, who's ever had a guarantee you're going to live, you're going to be here tomorrow. We all hope so. We hope we'll be here next year and 10 years' time. But guarantee you haven't got. But Avraham had it. Because he was guaranteed children. As long as he's got no children, he's got to be alive. So what's he rumbling about? Aha, says the Malbim, yes. Avraham was a Baal Emunah, Baal Betochen, but to him, having children, unless you could educate them, was useless. He was a great believer in education. And without the ability, then what's the point of having children, says Avraham Avinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I don't have the time to educate them? So therefore he said, yes, I believe 100% I'll have children before I die. But if I have them just before I die, how can I educate them? They'll be too young. Agav Urcha. Vayas Avraham Mishte Godoil, V'yoym Higomel Es Yitzchok. What's the big idea? Yoym Higomel? I've heard of a bris, I've heard of Pidyon HaBen, but what's the simch V'yoym Higomel? Says Rabbeinu Bechai, he celebrated the first day of Yitzchok's education. He started his chinuch of Yitzchok b'yoyim higomel. And that's what he made the Mishteh Gadol for. Because now I can start, he's old enough, mature enough, for me to start his education. Towards the end of the Torah, there's a posuk, Boruch Mibonim Osher. Osher is going to be blessed by sons. So Rashi at first says he's not sure what this means. Then he says as a medrash that Osher's daughters were married to Kohanim Gedolim. And that was the bracha. Alright, fine. V'choyshach al p'nei sahoim is one of the first psukim in the Torah. And the Medrash says, Ze golus yovon. The Yidden have suffered different golus, and the choyshach al p'nei sahoim is a remez to golus yovon. What's the golus yovon? So the Medrash says, the Yavonim said to the Yidden, Hisvul achem al keren hashoyer, Ein lonu chelek b'lekei Yisrael. Right on the horn of the ox, we have no share b'lekei Yisrael. But what sort of idea is writing on the... I don't know whether this ox is meant to be alive or dead. On live ox, I wouldn't try it. They're nasty creatures, these oxen. You try to keep it still while you write on it. But perhaps they mean on the keren hashoyer, after you shafted it, you cut off the... Write on it. If I were Yavoni and I want to get the Eden to abandon the Rabbon Shalom, I would say, write it on the walls of your house. Write it on the gates of your cities. But was it just Keren Hashoyer? So I was Oicha to hear from Rav Gurevich the following. Rav said that he was once Bein Hazmanim, and he went to the museum, there's a little museum in Saltwell Park in Gateshead, and he saw a display cabinet of shofros. What's this? So I went and have a look. What does it say there? Ancient babies feeding bottles. Reb Leib did not need the museum to tell him that as often again, or in the second parak of Shabbos, that if you have a yosim, and you can't, he doesn't have a mother to feed him milk, What do?
You take a shofar, and a shofar with a very small pinhole end one side, and the wider, you put the milk in the wider, and it comes out, and the child can suck. It's, I think a rubber thing would be better, but never, that they didn't have a rubber yet in the days of the Mishnah, so they used the Keren HaShoyfar. The Yavonim knew the sight. Take an Eile Chayim, who's been eating kosher and keeping Shabbos and Yontif and everything else for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and tell him, Ein lecha chelek b'lekei Yisrael. You're wasting your time. It's in my bloodstream already. If you want to get the Yidden to convert, you know where you start? With the babies. When the baby takes the feeding bottle, and it imbibes, Ein li chelek, then you're going to get somewhere. That is the pshat in Al-Keren HaShoyer. They wanted to uproot Yiddishkeit, but they had to start at the very beginning with the babies, otherwise they're not going to get anywhere. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we say, Keneged Arbo Bonim Dibro Toiro. What exactly is the author of the Haggadah trying to tell us with this piece of information? I believe that what he's saying is this. However many children you are blessed with, no two children are ever the same. Each child got his own head on his shoulders, and he's not like his brothers and sisters. Every child is an individual, and you have to treat him like that. And otherwise, you're going to fail. No two children are the same. And you have to take this into the consideration when you educate them. Let's not talk about Echad Chochem v'Echad Rosha. Let's talk about Echad Chochem v'Echad Tom. You cannot educate them in the same way. You have two children. One is born very bright, and the other one is average, perhaps below average. You have no good saying to the one who's, why aren't you like your big brother? Or worse still, why aren't you like your little brother? That is the most fatal mistake you can make in education. That kills off the children. Because daddy thinks I'm no good, so why should I try? Daddy's job is to evaluate each child as he is and educate him as he is. And that is the yesod of chinuch. Each child is individual. You have to treat him as an individual. Don't make comparisons, because that's killing off the child. We say it once or twice a year, but we also say it twice a day. In the first parsha of Shema, what do we say? V'shinantom levonecho. What's shinun? The Gemara shinana is sharp. Extremely intelligent. And that is what the Sephardim says. The intelligent child, you have to stretch him with real shinun, sharfkeit, amkus, lomdus. Yeah, that's in the first parsha. What does it say in the second parsha? V'limadetem oisom es b'neichem. What's happened to the shinun? You know why? Because he's not up to it. The Torah is telling us that some children are up to Vishinantom, Sharfkeit, Lomdus, Iyud. Others, they won't take it in. It's really mad at them, Oysab, Nidabebom. Right, you teach this child according to his ability. If you aim too high, we also aim high, but if you aim too high, you're going to lose the child. So every child has to be treated according to his mentality. In Shulchan Aruch, I think in Siman Pei Gimel, Yorodea, it says, see, that's the difference between my generation and your generation. In my generation, if you wanted Smich ben Rabbanov, you had to learn the whole of the first Chalik of Yorodea. Today, they're down to just Mlich Abos Vacholov and Taruvas. Yoridas Hadoidas. Anyway, I shouldn't boast to that, it's wrong. It says they're like this. that if you have a Jewish child whose mother cannot produce the nutritious milk the child needs, you have to get in those days a wet nurse. Try to avoid a non-Jewish woman. Although it's perfectly kosher, absolutely kosher, but nevertheless, if you can avoid it, do so. Because what we take into our guf becomes part of us. And you see, that is the difference between macholos asurois and other aveiros. The Gemara says quite clearly all over Shas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects his chassidim from macholos asurois. But not from Chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel Koro Vehito. Why? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, because what we eat becomes part of us. And if you eat macholos asurois, it's just like imbibing poison. If you eat or drink poison, it's going to destroy your guf, isn't it? If you imbibe macholos asurois, it'll destroy your neshama. When it may send bomb it in itam ten bomb, it causes. So therefore, if you can avoid a non-Jewish wet nurse, do so. But the end, if you've got no choice, it's kosher, but it should be avoided. Azoi state in Ramah, Siman Pei Gimel. Where does he get it from? He gets it from the Rajbo. And where does the Rajbo get it from? He gets it from last week's Sedra on Shabbos. Ha'elech ve'korosi lacha, isho meinekes min hu ivriyos. So Rashi tells us that Bisyo Basyo, I hate the people call him Basyo, her name was Bisyo. Are you asking me how I know? How dare you? So Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, chapter Dalet, Bisyo. Anyway, Bisyo took this baby and she took him round to a number of wet nurses he wouldn't take from them. So her sister says, shall I call her Isha Minhoibrius? Okay, fine. Why did Moshe not take from the... We just said, in Shulchan Aruch, it's kosher. Thank you. Per she'osel adabim shchina. The mouth who's going to speak shchina cannot take in milk of an achiyo. Rabbi Isa, I ask you. I understand Moshe Rabbeinu was osel adabim shchina. What about our children? The children in the time of the Rajbo or the Ramah, were they also les davei mashchina? Unfortunately, I can give you a written guarantee the answer is no. There's been no nevuah since the death of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Nobody's been also les davei mashchina since then. So why have we got to keep this humrah of Moshe Rabbeinu if the reason doesn't apply? The answer, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, aim high. I know my children will not be zoicha to this, but I've got to try it. I've got to aim high. When I educate my child, I have to educate him as though he's got to be the next Moshe Rabbeinu and also the Davei Mashchina. And if I don't aim high, then I am not doing my job properly. Since we have some time left, I'll say something on the Sidra. This morning's Kriyas HaToyla. Can you pass me that Sidra, please? Moshe was told, tell the Bnei Yisrael, V'hoitzeisi eschem mitachas sivlois mitzrayim. Tell them, I will take them out from the hard, harsh work, the burden of mitzrayim. And then it says a couple of psukim later, V'idatem k'ani Hashem lokeichem, ha'moitzi eschem mitachas sivlois mitzrayim. The first sivlois is chosa. There's no vav between the lamet and the sof. The second one is mole. Mitachas sivlois with a vav between the lamet and the sof. So Yosef Salam says, what's the difference? The difference is like this, he says. The Yidden in Mitzrayim suffered a double golus. There was a golus Hanashoma and the golus Shibud Hanashoma and Shibud Haguf. And whilst they were suffering the terrible Shibud Haguf, they didn't realize that it was also a Shibud Hanashoma. They were unaware of it. They were so dreadfully downtrodden with the sivlus of the guf, they didn't feel the sivlus Hanashoma. So therefore, when you talk to them for the first time, because they only got one thing on their mind, and that is the Shibud Haguf. But, I will take you to be my people. And I'll be your Rabbi Shalom. Vidatem then, at Kabbalah's HaTorah, you will know, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem Motzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim Mole. Because when they come to Kabbalah's HaTorah, then they realize, in Mitzrayim we were the Memtes Sharei Tuma. Incidentally, as you know, there are four expressions here. And because there are four expressions, we have Arba Koisos at the Seder. But in fact, of course, there's a fifth one. Behevesi Eschem Ho'aret. So why don't we have a Kois Keneged that? Actually, some people say that's a Kois Shel Eliyahu. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Afilu Onim Yisrael Lo Yichuz Ma'ayut Me'arba Koisos. That's all it says in the Mishnah. So the answer is, says the Malbim, that the first four are essential. They come, bring us to Kabbalah's HaTorah. The Hevesi Eschem is very good. We, all of us, should be in Eretz Yisrael. But we are not. Does that release us from the Shibud of the Tariyag Mitzvahs? No, certainly not. So therefore, the Hevesi Eschem, it's a very good thing to be in Eretz Yisrael. You can be Mekayim, Tariyag, Mitzvahs, Atluyus, Ba'oritz, etc., which you can't do here. But it's not essential. When these words were said, the Rabbi Shem knew Yidden are going to go into Golos, Golos Bovel, Golos Edoim, and under no circumstances will we give up a Kutzer Shalyut from the Mitzvahs which we can perform here. But nevertheless, the Hevesi is not Me'akiv. We are Yidden wherever we are on earth. Now, it's all very well saying four koises for four expressions. But who needs four expressions? What do these four expressions denote? And again, it's the Soporno who says that they are in fact four stages of Geula. The Hoitzesi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim is number one. What does that mean? The Sivlois, the very harsh, back-breaking work, will finish. But Avoida will continue. So the first stage is Mitachas Sivlois. The second one is Mitzalti Eschem Me'avoidosom. Even Avdus will stop. And there were, in between, there was a whole year. So the Mishnah says, there was a year during that. So the first, at the first Makkah of Dam, the Sivlois stopped. At Makkah's Bechoris, the Avdus stopped. But if the Avdus stopped, all right, they were still Avodim. They're on holiday, let us say. But Avodim, they were. That's when the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. Because then, if you can only be an Eved if you've got an Odoim. If the Odoim disappear under the waves, then you are free. So that is stage number three. That is stage four. That is Kabbalah's HaTorah. So that is why we have Arba Kois. And that explains why, where the Gemara says, Shasom Bevasachas. If you drink four Koises, one, two, three, four, you're not Yotze. Why not? Because each Kois represents a special stage in the Geula.
Yeah.